going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show on a Friday here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live, of course, on YouTube too at the Team 980. A show that will ask you, what do you think of the Commanders taking Josh Connerly? And then take your calls on it at 301-230-0980 very shortly. However, I will at first tell you what I think of the Commanders drafting Josh Connerly, the offensive tackle out of Oregon, who is a mammoth human being, 6'5", 315. He's got great length, 34 and a quarter inch arms. 34 is kind of the standard for tackles. Like, hey, if you got 34 plus inch arms, we're all good here. Will Campbell, by the way, 33. That is why there was so much consternation. Incredible feet. Guy played running back in high school as a freshman. Caught a touchdown pass as a tackle-eligible play in his first year on campus at Oregon. So this is a special, special athlete the Commanders took last night. That's not to say he's perfect. There's a reason he went 29 and not 9, where Kelvin Banks Jr. did to the New Orleans Saints. But this is a guy that plenty of people whose opinions are more than respectable on the offensive line had as their top lineman in this class. Mike Tice of the former Minnesota Vikings head coaching fame, who was a long, long time offensive line coach in the league before that, he had Connerly as his top lineman in this draft. And so I think we can talk about the selection, the decision, compared to what else was on the board. But when you talk about the player, I totally get why they took him. That's who he is, a guy that adds to what is a supremely athletic offensive line. Tunsil is very, very special, obviously, at left tackle. Brandon Coleman would be my guess, playing left guard after all the tackle talk. That didn't even get to the offseason program. He'll probably kick inside and wind up playing guard, although he and Connerly will probably both get their shot at right tackle with the other one playing guard. So two pretty special athletes there. Two guys with basketball backgrounds who move really well, very fluid. And then we know what Sam Cosmi is, assuming that he comes back from that ACL clean and is the athlete that he has always been. And Tyler Biadasz at center is very solid as well. And I'm just again impressed at the conviction that Adam Peters has, and I'm impressed by some of the things they think about, some of the things they look at that seem so obvious in hindsight. It's like, of course, that's the thing that you would want to know. Of course, that's a thing that you would want to study. And that includes how he plays against top competition, or a prospect plays against top competition. And I found this bite from Adam Peters particularly intriguing last night. This is from the post-draft press conference. Adam Peters talking about some very specific tape that they watched and then had their R&D, research and development team, pull statistically in terms of the evaluation they do on everyone in an area where Connerly shined.
Yeah, that's a great question. That was something I failed to mention when I started the presser. But I think, one, the way he competed against Abdul Carter, he went toe-to-toe with Abdul Carter, who's the best pass rusher in the draft. He did really well. And, he did really well against a lot of really good players. He, you know, played Ohio State twice, and they were getting the break speed off in the second game, and he was still competing to the very last second, and that showed a lot. And just so those types of things you see in them. When we have metrics where our R&D does department does a great job of giving us metrics, how do they perform against high draftable players? And so he performed really high against high draftable players, and that lined up with what our eyes saw. And so those things make you really not just his skill, but the fact that he will go toe-to-toe with those guys. He's not going to freak out. He's not going to panic. He's not going to do things that he doesn't normally do when he's, you know, face-to-face with a really great player.
And that's what you want. You want a guy that's going to play under control. You want a guy that, in this division especially, is up for those challenges. I mean, not only did he go toe-to-toe with Abdul Carter from a protection standpoint, they were helmet-to-helmet, nose-to-nose at one point after a couple of reps where they're getting after it pretty good. And so he's soft-spoken. He's you know, kind. He's all these things. Gregarious young man, but he's also a dude that he's an offensive lineman. And I mean, that is a ultimate compliment when you turn on the tape and you look at kind of the way he competes, the finish he has. I mean, he'll drive you through the ground. He'll pancake you. So there's just a lot to like there. And in terms of being able to stay within himself against top competition, one, he's going to see Carter twice a year. And if he's not, he's going to be matched up against Brian Burns, likely, and Kayvon Thibodeau in New York. The New York Giants just picked up Thibodeau's fifth-year option yesterday. Micah's in Dallas, obviously. And then you've got the slew of dudes in Philly, which also now includes Jahad Campbell, who somehow fell to them at the bottom of the first round. And I think this is why, ultimately, like, we can talk about, and I'm sure we will, some of you guys are going to call in and have gripes and gripe away at 301-230-0980. But I'm perfectly fine with them passing up some of the guys they did to say, what happens to our offense that was top five in the league last year by the end of the year when we don't have to game plan around the offensive line talent that we have? Because last year, the talent wasn't horrible like a lot of people thought it was going to be in the beginning of the year, but it was very average. Now you've upgraded significantly a left tackle. You're hoping you're upgrading, and you're certainly upgrading. Well, I'll say certainly athletically. Andrew Wiley's actually a pretty good athlete. But you're upgrading if Connerly's your right tackle. You still are upgrading athletically. That's how good of an athlete Connerly is. Like, Wiley's good. Connerly's special. Wiley has the veteran know-how, but hopefully Connerly, you know, by middle of the year would be the better player with some of the development that he can do. And by the way, Wiley is probably going to compete with Allegretti for the right guard spot until Sam Cosmi's back, because he's played guard and played guard at a decent level before. So you're upgrading your guard spots. Your center is going to be the one thing that's the same. And putting that in front of Jaden Daniels, also putting that in front of your run game to supplement what Jaden Daniels can do, adding Deebo Samuel, like, you've made a strength stronger. And that's going to help your defense because you can stay on the field and sustain drives in a way that was very similar to when you found success last year. It's easier to do when you've got the O-line to do it. And now, instead of having to game plan and scheme the offensive line to work, you just throw those guys out there and be like, hey, bros, block. And, by the way, that also frees up some of your eligibles. If you can get some of these chips and all that kind of stuff you had to do, just get those guys out in routes. Now what happens to your offense? So it's an exciting pick. It's grown on me a lot since last night. I think I was surprised at first, and that probably influenced how I initially reacted to it. I just thought tackle wouldn't be on the board for them. I believed them too much when they said Brandon Coleman, right tackle. But Josh Connerly, going to probably be the guy who gets the best shot there. Coleman will fit in where he gets in. And the other thing about those two guys, to wrap up here before we get to your calls and more from Adam Peters, is the way both of those dudes are built, the character on both of them, whatever, however it shakes out, they're just like, I'm here for the team. Those two, I wouldn't surprise me if Coleman and Connerly become really good friends. They share similar backgrounds in terms of the you know, played other sports, played a bunch of basketball, like really good athletes. I'm very excited to see that room coalesce, and those two dudes should be in front of Jaden Daniels for a long, long time. When we get back, we'll take your calls. What do you make of the Josh Connerly pick? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Plus more from Adam Peters next on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. You can call us at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What you think of the Commanders taking Josh Connerly, the offensive tackle, out of Oregon with their first pick at 29 overall? Apparently had a couple of offers to trade down. They didn't like any of them more than they liked Connerly. Adam Peters told the Command Center show last night before he stepped into the press conference room that he thought the Bears might take Connerly at 10. He was sweating as soon as Kelvin Banks Jr. went off the board at 9 to the Saints. Ultimately, their guy still there at 29. Let's go to Jack and Frederick to get us started on the phone. Jack, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hi, Craig. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Hey, so I've done a few mock drafts over the past couple weeks, and my last one, the night before the draft, I had traded down to 40 and got Josh Connerly as my first pick, and it looks like that wasn't going to be the case if we had traded down last night, that somebody else would have taken him. So I'm thrilled with the pick. I think it does solidify the offensive line even more, and we have a lot of options now for strength all across the line. And when I watch this film, it looks like he does some of the things that we like to do on offense really well, like getting out on screen passes and some of the guard tackle pull runs. And I know we're aiming for a running back later in the draft, but I think having another offensive lineman, it's just going to make it that much easier for whoever we have at running back to get more wide open holes to run through. So I'm excited for both the passing game and the running game.
Yeah, Jack, and I think you're 100% right that if you could have done what you did in your mock draft and traded down to 40, they would have loved to do it. But I think there was not a great chance that Josh Connerly was going to be available. Thanks for the call, dude. And I think Jack's also 100% right in terms of what the options are for this offense and what they like to do. If you want a guy who can get out in the screen game in front of, I don't know, Deebo Samuel, Josh Connerly is a really good choice. He runs so well. Now, he does occasionally have some trouble hitting little guys in space, but that's because that's really hard. And so that's a skill that I'm sure Bobby Johnson and some of the veteran teammates that he has can help him with. A guy like Laremy Tunsil can be like, hey, this is how I target. Let's work on this. So they can get better at that skill. But you can't teach the guy to be fast and explosive in the first place. And I think that to me is the biggest thing, is the stuff that I would mark down or that, you know, you read about that you see on tape, that's his weakness, is stuff I feel like you can work on, especially when you're him. He is a third year true junior. Okay. This is not a kid with a COVID year. There's not whatever. Like there's some of these guys. Who were we looking at? We were looking at David Walker this morning. And by the way, at 5 o'clock, you'll hear, Logan and I talk about some of the guys that we think are going to be in the mix for day two. So you'll hear that coming up as today's edition of Not My Beat. If you want Logan's full breakdown of Connerly and how he fits in and all that kind of stuff, check out Take Command, at some point this weekend. But, we were talking about like David Walker from Central Arkansas, edge rusher. He's like 25 years old and he was playing at Central Arkansas. I'd hope if you're remotely close to an NFL prospect, you're crushing people at 25 in the FCS. But for a guy like Connerly, he's out there in one of the best two conferences in college football as a young player, and he's more than holding his own. He's really, really good. And because he's a leaner body type at 6'5", 315 compared to these dudes that are 330, 340, he carries it so well, he can actually get stronger, I think. And I think a couple of years, like I think what he walks into in camp this year, and to spring camp specifically, is going to look different than what he looks like when he walks into training camp, and is going to look different than what it looks like when he walks into the spring next year. This dude's body is going to transform as he finishes growing as a 21-year-old going on 22 in November, and he gets with a professional strength program, and his job is now to work out and eat in the ways that he is told to, as opposed to balancing that with whatever class load a Division I athlete takes at this point in the NIL era. Not that class was ever the most important thing for some student athletes. Although Josh Connerly does feel like a guy that went to class. That's whatever that's worth. Probably nothing. Let's go to Aveen. Aveen's in D.C. Thanks, Aveen, for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. What do you think of the Commanders taking Josh Connerly?
Hey, Craig. I think it's an exciting pick. Connerly got on my radar a couple days ago with McShay's final mock draft. And I think he generally has good intel. And he was saying that from what he had heard, Washington was in on four people, four names in play. For 29, and he said Connerly, Emanwori, and then two running backs, Henderson and Hampton. So I just became way more cognizant of Connerly as a possibility. And I think it's really interesting because we were a top five-ish type of offense last season, and how many offenses, you know, the following offseason make two changes or two significant investments at tackle, like two changes to the tackle position. That's like something you don't really see. So I'm wondering what that means. How much improved is our running game going to be? How much improved can our screen game be? How much more creative can Cliff be? And if Jaden's going to be able to drop back more. So I think it's exciting. And I think we're building something that maybe just rivals Detroit in the NFC in terms of offense. Maybe Tampa too is up there. But what I'm interested in hearing from you is about the idea of, you know, of need versus best player available. Because once we got to pick 29 last night, I had a bunch of people texting, oh, we have all these like big names available that are falling. And I was thinking to myself, just knowing from last year's draft and Adam Peters, I was like, I bet it's like a name we're not even thinking of. And it's like a position we haven't really thought of that much either. So I'm just thinking about that because a lot of people are saying, you know, edge rusher and corner. And I genuinely believe when they say they're, you know, satisfied or, you know, happy with the roster they have right now and they think they could play tomorrow. Although corner does scare me a little bit because Lattimore has injury history.
I mean, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're up against the clock, but it's a great call and I'm going to answer your question. But I appreciate it, buddy, and thanks for the call. So to get straight to the question at the end there, and I think he brought up a bunch of really great points along the way, I think that they go best player available, especially early on, without fail. With the exception of if there's a quarterback, and that's going to be in a different bucket. So they see the draft the way the draft should be. This is a long-term building block. Think of how many one-year deals. And Peters talked about this pre-draft, right? There's plenty of guys that they've signed over the last couple of years that they would have liked to sign to multi-year deals, but the guys don't necessarily want to because they know if they ball out, then they can go get paid at a higher rate from the Commanders or somewhere else. Like, I bet you they wanted to sign last year Jeremy Chinn to a multi-year deal. And Chinn was like, I'm good. And he played really well, and then he went and got paid somewhere else. And the Commanders just kind of had to be like, all right, well, you're worth more to them than you are to us. That be the market. It is what it is. But the draft is where you get multi-year cost-controlled assets. And Laremy Tunsil is, you know, 30-something years old. Do I think he can play 3 to 4 more years at a high level? Yeah, probably. Tackles play a long time in the league. But what happens if Laremy Tunsil in 2 years is starting to decline? You can move on from him, and you could kick Josh Connerly back over to left tackle and be like, all right, here we go. Josh Connerly is now the guy protecting Jaden Daniels' blind side. On the offensive line, like Wiley, Allegretti, those contracts are expiring, and I think you're looking for upgrades. At every other position, the same thing is true, right? Like, you've got guys that if you start tomorrow, you're not dead in the water, but there's no need to take an inferior player at any position because the whole point is to get the best football players possible over the long run. And the draft is where you do that compared to free agency where you're plugging holes and, you know, just kind of getting by for the year. And so I think where people are going to lie to themselves is they're going to be like, well, this wasn't the best player available, or this guy's not. I'm telling you right now, listen to them talk about him and listen to what Peter said when he said to Command Center, I was sweating starting at 10. They had a top 15 grade on this dude. They had a bona fide, genuine first round grade. Like, Dane Brugler had a first second on him. He's 23rd player on Dane's top 100. I think that they were significantly higher on him. And clearly, guys like Mike Green, Will Johnson were not on their boards. Will Johnson does not get to the second round if that foot injury and the other injury concerns, the medicals, aren't bad. Like, real bad. Mike Green, I heard he didn't interview well around the multiple accusations. That he got real defensive with teams. Teams did not feel comfortable with it. And you're not gonna invite that into your building if, one, you don't feel like you can trust the guy, and two, you think it's a risk. Like, you don't like the way he talks about this stuff, and you think that it could happen again. You don't want your logo flashed up on the screen with our player, our team, accused of sexual violence. And like, Mike Green's been accused twice in two different places. And so I know some people be like, oh, Donovan Ezeraku. Like, they didn't have as high of a grade on Donovan Ezeraku. And a lot of other teams were the same. A lot of teams had Ezeraku as an early second type of guy. They had Josh Connerly, top half of the first round. I bet a month's, a week's, I'd probably be willing to bet a year salary on it. That's probably not a very smart thing to do. But I would bet you that at least a week's salary that they had a top 15 grade on Josh Connerly. And Adam Peters was terrified that someone else did too. And luckily for them, enough other good players were available in this draft and enough other teams didn't need tackles. And teams that did, like Houston, traded out because Atlanta pulled in Atlanta again. And that allowed them to do what they did. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. And we will take more of your calls on the Hoffman Show next. Commanders take Josh Connerly, 29th overall in the 2025 NFL Draft. Let you hear from Adam Peters more throughout the show. Who could they take at 61? And how could a trade look and all that kind of stuff? Who's kind of in the range, in the bucket? We'll get to all of that with Logan Paulson at the top of the hour. Plus, some of the other big stories from around the NFL and around the draft last night. Before the end of the show today, it's 6 o'clock, which, by the way, programming note, we're done at 6:15 today because we have Nationals baseball here on the Team 980. So Charlie and Dave get you going with Nats on Deck at 6:15. But Logan and I will let you hear who we think is kind of in the mix coming up at 5 o'clock. And then Clint Yates going to join at 5:30 for his Friday visit to talk about Shedeur Sanders' fall out of the first round. But we continue now with your calls. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Ross in Tampa. Ross, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. What's up, dude?
Man, long time no talk, Craig. What's good in the hood?
Hey, I've been here the whole time. I don't know where you've been.
Man, I've been doing postal inspections, man. Them guys up in D.C., they ain't playing around. They don't want us making calls to 980 no more. But this isn't just any call. This is a redemption call for me. Because a year ago today, I got the rambling and the talking and the talking. You had to cut me off and hang up on me, and I was embarrassed. So I'm gonna be a little bit more smooth this time.
Okay.
Man, I heard it all day long, man. I just feel like the same people who may have a problem with this pick are the same people who are going to complain about Jaden not being upright if we didn't get him. It's like, you got to look at it, Craig. We watch football, man. These linemen go down all the time on freak accidents, the same way we lost Cosme. You know, Christian Darrisaw's injury. You're holding your own, and then your neighbor gets barreled into your kneecap, and then where's the death? No disrespect to the Tyler Dieters of the world and the Chris Pauls, but I think this was a real solid pick because we're investing in our future superstar quarterback. We gotta make these optimal moves. 61, I really don't know what direction we can go because I feel like we can go any direction outside of maybe, well, obviously quarterback, maybe tight end, and it makes sense. But the Adam Peters let him cook narrative, it's alive and strong. But, you know, I just like how I told Anthony this. I like how he keeps his coordinators in mind. Because let's face it, Cliff ain't going to be around for much long. So, like, you can get him in line too. Come on, Craig.
Hey. Yeah, if I'm Cliff, like, I'm good, bro. I'm not going anywhere unless I have to. I'm sure he's well compensated. And, you know, I think what a great story. And I love that the Commander's social team was able to get a photo and video of the actual note, if folks haven't seen this, that Cliff left in Adam's office. He went to go visit him during the week. Adam had stepped out, and he left him a note, said, "Stopped by. Please take the tackle out of Oregon. Thanks, Cliff." And he got his guy.
Imagine Ross, what Bruce Allen would have done in that situation. Sort of blew his nose with it.
Yeah, spilled a beer on it. That was probably a little bit too much, but we'll just keep it.
Oh, Craig, I got a question for you. I was going to DM you, but I figured I was going to call and ask you. Not all that right. I want this guy, but I just kind of want your take. First of all, who do you think we should get in the second round if you haven't disclosed it? And Isaiah Bond, does he get drafted this weekend?
That's a good question. All right, Ross, I'm going to let you hang up and listen. Appreciate the call, as always. There's a bunch of dudes that I think are plausible at 61. I think Ifeanyi Odejo is there. That's kind of the guy that I would most like to see fall. I'm also thinking that he could come off the board sooner rather than later tonight. You just don't get a guy that's that kind of athlete and twitch. It's kind of like what I said about Shamar Stewart yesterday. You just don't get a dude whose muscles have muscles, who's got real pass rush juice, that has the size, the speed, all the stuff that he does, and then he's just available for you later. And especially in Oladejo, a guy that plays really hard, and I think the character's good too. I would love to see Femi Oladejo somehow fall to 61. I just don't really see the path for him to fall to 61. Isaiah Bond's interesting for a multitude of reasons. One, there's this crazy off-the-field thing with him where he's got someone accusing him of a terrible thing, but he's got counter-evidence. And, like, I'm not going to comment on who's did what. It's messy. And if I was a team, I wouldn't want to touch it. I'm just like, I don't want when my team says they drafted this guy for the ensuing discussion to be, and by the way, mess. That's not what I'm after. That's just my GM philosophy. Will that cost me talented people at times? Yes. But I also have never had a chance to sit down with Isaiah Bond. I don't know the kid. I've never talked to him. I don't know what his coaches say. I do know as a player, he's very intriguing. And I was talking to some folks over the last couple of weeks, and you know, to ask about Golden, and you know, one team had some DBs in, and they were like, you know, Golden was fine, but like Bond's the guy that scared us. That Texas offense was very Isaiah Bond focused. I also think you could say their offense got better when it became more Matthew Golden focused. So there's just a lot there with Bond. I think there's a good, like, he's electric enough on tape that it would not surprise me if he's a third round pick. I'd be kind of surprised if he's a second, but he is definitely a name to watch over the next couple of years to see if he can get his stuff straightened out and then ultimately unlock his potential. But Femi Oladejo is the other guy that I think I would look at. Let's go to our guy, Ford. Ford, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. What you got on Josh Connerly?
Well, just a few things, and then, you know, as always, I'll hang up and listen. But, yeah, I love the pick. Probably been said a lot of times before, but you got to protect your most valuable asset. And Craig, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see this type of behavior from Adam Peters and his staff year over year. I mean, just keep building through the trenches, kind of like Philadelphia just keeps building and adding people in the trenches, and it's just a smart way to do it, I think, when you have somebody like Jaden. And also, it was interesting. I don't know if you picked up on it, but on Tuesday in Adam's pre-draft presser, he kind of gave us a throwaway line. He gave us a little nugget that not many people, I was surprised none of the reporters circled back on it, but I think Nikki asked him a question that about Edge. He goes, yeah, Edge, and I'm sure you'll be asking me about offensive line and corner. And that was all he said. You know, and nobody came back, but I picked up on it. I was like, huh, offensive line and corner. This is a pre-draft presser. I'm sorry. So I kind of had a feeling Tuesday that he was kind of, they were considering, you know, along with their commander tag, et cetera, they were considering that position, a position of need as well, although, you know, us out here in the public didn't really see it as such. And the last thing I'll just say, Craig, is, you mentioned earlier, I'm continuing to be impressed with Adam and his staff and their intentionality. You know, they stayed the course. They bonded with everybody very quickly. Everybody buys in and is on the same page. And I trust him implicitly. So no matter who they pick tonight and over the weekend and what happens after the draft, I'm good because they've given me no reason other than to trust them implicitly. So I'd love to hear your view. Thanks.
Ford, I just simply say amen to pretty much everything you said. I appreciate that call. And I'll double click on one thing Ford said just to kind of veer it in a different direction, because I genuinely agree with everything he just said, and I don't feel the need to repeat it. But if you look at the best available, the quote-unquote best available, right? And it's funny because these insiders have to make their lists, and then all of a sudden maybe they learn something during the draft, or they learn something on, you know, this morning, and it's like, oh, that's why that guy's still available. Well, I would readjust my list. But if you look at the guys who were widely considered the best available still going into day two, I don't know how many of these guys had the commander tag. And I'm not going to go a full on, like, I tried to tell you, but like, there's a reason I kept bringing it up. And it's not because then I get to stand on a soapbox in a moral high ground and be like, I told you these are fine young. I don't know any of these guys. I don't know them from Adam. I do know Adam Peters. I mean, I don't know Adam Peters, but I know you get the point. I don't personally know Adam Peters. We're not friends, but I know Adam Peters and Dan Quinn care about the character and they care about the competitor and they care about this stuff at a very, very high level. And so when people would be like, I don't know, James Pierce Jr., I'm like, no, they're not taking that guy. I had a hard time believing that Mike Green was their guy. The more I, frankly, even yesterday, and I feel bad because I talked about Will Johnson and then was doing more homework, and I was like, I wish I hadn't said all that stuff I said about Will Johnson. Like, the more I dug into Will Johnson, the more I had questions. Not just because of the injuries, but I was like, man, your 2024 tape looks like you were making business decisions. Like, you just weren't in it in the same way that you were in 2023. Nick Amanwori, like, I'm very intrigued by Nick Amanwori. I think he's apparently his teammates love him, super cerebral, but he doesn't deliver the thump in the way that a Jeremy Chinn did, in the way that a Will Harris does. Like, there are certain things they look for where I can, if you give me a name, flip on the tape and know if I have access to, you know, someone's legitimate all 22 and just be like, within 10 plays, I can tell you if that guy's a commander from the tape. And then I want to go know, like a guy like Mike Green, I would tell you yes, based off the tape. And then you go off the field and you're like, oh no, that's in his report. I'm good on that. And the other best available guys, I don't know that any of them outside of maybe Ezeraku would have gotten the commander's tag. And I don't know that Ezeraku would have gotten it. And I do think he's a tier down for them in terms of the eval anyway, so it kind of becomes irrelevant. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. We'll wrap up the hour with more of your calls on Josh Connerly next.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Let's keep it rolling with the calls on the 2025 NFL Draft at 301-230-0980 with Noel. Noel, what's up, dude? Thanks for calling. What you got on Josh Connerly and what the Commanders did last night?
Hey, Craig. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, indeed.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was a really solid pick. I mean, just really solid. You know, not the most beautiful, like, you know, out there pick as far as like getting an edge, but really, really solid. And clearly, the team is considering Jaden Daniels so much, which I can truly appreciate. And the two things that stand out to me is, one, they are really actively trying to avoid a regression with what C.J. Stroud had last year with their O-line, because their O-line was not that great, and ironically, Tunsil is now on our team, but I digress. And then secondly, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems apparent that we're probably going to pick up a running back at some point in this draft. So had we gotten an edge rusher maybe in the first round or second round with one of those two picks, we probably would have needed to get a running back that accentuated playmaking ability. But now that we added another tackle to add to the O-line, or if they're going to move him to guard, whatever that might be, whatever they decide to do, it gives us the freedom to really just pick the best running back available based off of Adam's board. So I think it's a win-win, really. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the results for the draft. And yeah, it's a solid pick, really solid. I like it a lot. So
thanks, Noel. Yeah, I think to an extent that's almost even overcomplicating it. Like, I think Josh Connelly was the best player on the board. I kind of think it might have been by a lot. So they took him. Like, it doesn't have to be always 3D chess. Like, all these other factors are nice bonuses, but they're icing, not cake. Like, this isn't the milk, eggs, and the flour. It's like, no, Josh Connelly was a pre-made cake mix, and all you had to do was, like, add water and bake or something. I don't know how many cake mixes are just add water. None of the bakers yell at me. Bark! Anyway, the point is, Anthony, do you get that reference? You don't watch Great British Bake Off, do you?
I do not.
You should. It's just, it's pure British joy. I think you would love that show.
Maybe.
Only one way to find out. You got a homework assignment this weekend. In the middle of NHL, NBA playoffs, and the NFL draft, you have to watch Great British Bake Off. Anyway, the point is absolutely none of that. I think Josh Connelly is just flat out the best player for the Commanders, and the fact that there's a very deep running back class, not a very particularly deep offensive tackle class, and a fairly deep edge class is a very nice perk. And I think this is also where the run on corners happens. You might miss it because I think there could be five or six guys that go, but there's a couple names that I'll throw at you now. Like Quincy Riley, they've met with the kid four times, including a top 30 visit. Now, is he probably a little rich at 61 and he's probably gone at 128? Probably for both, but like, maybe he's around at 128, or maybe they can trade off of 61, pick up another fourth, and pick him up in the 70s. Like, something like that could definitely be possible. And then even, like, there's a couple other names, a couple other positions. You're like, oh, they met with him four times. Basil Tootin, the running back out of Virginia Tech, they met with him four times, including a top 30 visit. So there certainly are guys that I think are probably higher on their list that at the very least they're very familiar with. They wanted to get to know. Let's go to Ray. Ray, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, Craig? How you doing, man?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. Happy Friday to you. Hey, look here. I think that was a real good pick, man. You got the number five offensive lineman total on the board, on the whole draft board. And if he was number one lineman on their board, man, they made the right pick. Because at 29, I mean, you can't go wrong with it. As far as the what they're going to do with this pick right here, I mean, it's a whole lot of ways they could do it, man. There's no sense in reaching for a running back because my number one running back was Omarion Hampton, but he's gone. You know, everybody else is, you know, like one and a half tier. Because after Gentry and Hampton, they're ones and everybody else is one and a half. Tootin, good running back, but he got to hold on to the ball. I wouldn't mind having him because once he gets in the open, nobody's going to catch him. But the player that you need to watch out for who they should have their eye on is a kid from Texas. And he's a safety. His name is Andrew Makuba. He's 6 feet, 190. And he's a straight baller. You hear me? A baller. They get him, they won't have to look for another safety, just like they won't have to look for another offensive lineman for a good while. And as far as the edge is concerned, I know everybody wants these flashy edges. I'm going to tell you something. It's an edge on the board nobody is talking about. He's not flashy, but he's real productive. His name is David Walker. From Central Arkansas, a la Monty Coleman's alma mater. They need to look at that kid, man. The kid can straight ball for an edge rusher. He's real good. Do everybody want to get these flashy names and everything? No, get the ballers. Those two guys there, man, and those three guys that I said, if you can reach for them, I mean, if you can get them, you don't have to reach for them. You can wait for probably the fourth round. All of them going to be there except for Makuba. Makuba, if you can get him in the second round, if he there, if you don't get Jaden Higgins, because that's my man. I got to take Jaden Higgins. Jaden Higgins is my number one receiver, for real. I got to get him because he's a taller Terry McLaurin, a mold Terry McLaurin, but he's just taller. But all those kids, man, they can flat out ball it, and I'm gone. Bye.
All right. Ray the Scout joined us here on the Team 980. Makuba's interesting. Nobody's talking about David Walker. Anthony, Was that the first time David Walker's name was mentioned on this radio show today?
I thought you were talking about David Walker, my classmate.
No. He could be, though, because you ain't that much older than the David Walker from Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
We literally talked about him 30 minutes ago. I'd hope as hell that he was productive. He played in an FCS school, and he's 25 years old. He's also super sought off, shorter guy. Like, I'm not telling you he can't play. Like, I got to pull this up because it's one of my favorite write-ups. I found it this morning. Actually, you want to know what? We talk about David Walker in the Take Command segment we're about to play. And the really hilarious line from Dane Brugler in The Beast is in there. So instead of reading it to you twice, I'm just going to get us to break on time. And then when we come back, you'll hear the funny line about David Walker. Jaden Higgins being a taller Terry McLaurin. That is a wild-ass take. Makuba's interesting, though. Who does Logan think that we should take? That is what you're going to hear next on the Team 980. But at least we got Ray's take in.